How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life.
Your relationship to money is so essential to your relationship with work and success.
Hey, it's Heather Chauvin, wife, mother of three boys, former social worker, breadwinner, recovering hustler, and stage 4 cancer survivor. I'm not a fan of that term, by the way. Beyond all of these titles and labels, I'm a human being just like you, attempting to navigate it all while feeling good. My goal on this podcast is to show you that you can live an energized, sustainable life both at home and in your work. It doesn't matter if you stay at home full time, if you work from home, you're a CEO, a successful business owner, or trying to find some inspiration. On this show, I attempt to keep it real with stories, interviews, and random thoughts. This is not a business or career podcast, and it's not a parenting podcast. It's both and so much more. You will laugh. You may even cry. And you may even get a little frustrated with the truth you've been hiding from yourself. I believe all human behavior is a language, whether it's through your child's behavior, your health, or a relationship. And when we learn to listen instead of react, we begin to understand what it truly means to feel alive and in control. It's time to put your big girl pants on and find your brave. Let's go.
Okay, ladies, I'm back. And today I'm really excited to interview or share the interview that I did with Amber Duggar. So her last name is spelled D-U-G-G-E-R. So you can find her at amberduggar.com. She is the founder of Profit for Keeps, a system developed for online entrepreneurs to end the stress and anxiety around numbers. It's a holistic system combining personal finance and business cash flow systems using the Profit First and YNAB, which is You Need a Budget. Okay, so the reason why I'm not going to have these boring conversations with you about money, the reason why I'm having this conversation with Amber is because I love her dearly. I know her, and she uses Profit First. Oftentimes when we're talking about money, what's happening is we're learning from a financial advisor, you're talking to your CPA about it, you're talking to your bookkeeper, somebody who in the traditional sense knows about money. But yet there's this mindset aspect about money that nobody talks about. And it's a beautiful thing when you have a financial expert who also has wealth consciousness awareness. So Amber brings both of those together so beautifully. You can have your cake and eat it too. You don't have to get rid of your $5 or $10 lattes if you don't want to, if you have the cash flow for it. But here's the thing. I think now more than ever, it's really important that we talk about the humongous pink elephant in the room. And this is a really big passion topic for me because I shared this on the Mom is in Control Business podcast. But 6 years ago, when I was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer, we were in a crisis state with our finances. And when I say we're in a crisis state, it was a socially acceptable crisis state to be in. This is, you know, a cultural epidemic of people living paycheck to paycheck. And I'm going to be flat out, straight up honest with you. The reason why people live paycheck to paycheck has a large correlation due to their worth. there's a humongous correlation to an individual's sense of worthiness and how much money they actually make. And I'm not just talking about working somewhere and being in your cap and, you know, being at the highest level and not being able to break through. You could be a teacher or a professional who makes X amount a year, but you could also start a side hustle. You could also be an investor. There's so many ways to make money, but we've been conditioned that we can only make money through our traditional career. So when I was diagnosed, I was fucking screwed. We had no money. All of our credit cards were maxed out, and I had to pay an additional $1,000 a month for support to recover my body to make sure that I didn't have a relapse in my cancer diagnosis. And I shared more about this story on the So Money podcast with Farnoosh Torabi. But just to give you a little background, this is why I fell in love with Profit First, because I found it a few years later. It felt like an easy system. I had to do the hard work and start looking at my money wounds. And so I wanted to have Amber back on the podcast today because I think probably there's many of you who've been affected in a financial way through this pandemic or not. You might still have the cash flow in your bank account, but your money mindset of not enough is having you freak out and worry about taking that extra money out of your savings that you have put away for moments like this. So I hope today is a wake-up call for you, either to get your money shit in order or to really dig deeper into why you are hoarding so much money in the first place. And I know this is a sensitive topic, but I also see such a correlation with how we treat our money and how we treat our relationships with our children and our partners. But it all goes back to our mind and it all goes back to our beliefs. And at the core, do we believe that we are worthy of thriving and feeling good and truly living the life that we truly crave? So head on over to Instagram and message me at @HeatherChauvin_. Tag me if you're listening to this podcast. And also, I want to hear your stories. I want to know, what are you up to? How is this quarantine affecting you? Every Wednesday, we are sharing a listener's story. So head on over to your email, go to podcast@HeatherChauvin.com and share there. And we will be selecting one and reading it every Wednesday. Okay, ladies, you got this. You can feel in control of your money, your time, your energy, but you got to implement and you got to start somewhere. So let's dive into Amber Duggar. You can find her at amberduggar.com.
All right, Miss Amber, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. So I want to just kind of introduce you, but give a little backstory that you and I met a little while ago in a mastermind that we were in. And previous to that, I have read and implemented Profit First into my business. And then when I found you, I was like, this is the woman that I want to hear from. This is the woman that I want to learn from, because we all have our own way or message of, you know, being in the world, especially when we're implementing our businesses. And I love that you just have this consciousness around money. It's not this black and white, eat beans and rice, like, because we all have our own money stories and fears and beliefs around it, but you bring such an elegance to this process. And I just love talking about money, especially Profit First, with you. And the reason why I really wanted to bring you on is, and I think I tagged you on Instagram, but I would not be as calm as a cucumber right now in my business and my life if I didn't implement Profit First a few years ago. And as a breadwinner, like in my home, and my husband's like, we're good, we're okay. And it's moments like this, but of course I had to go through my own previous crisis to figure that out. But it's moments like this where we're like, we need to pay attention to the things that maybe we're not paying attention to in our lives for moments like this. So welcome. And I would just love if you just do a little intro of what you're up to these days and who you are.
Well, thank you so much, Heather. I'm really honored to be here. And you are just one of my favorite people. So it's just, I was really looking forward to today, just spending this hour with you. My name is Amber Duggar, for those of you who have just come into to learning more about Profit First. And I specifically love to help guide impact-driven entrepreneurs that have an online business specifically or a service-based business that is looking to have more peace and clarity around their numbers and also is looking to find a holistic system to help them with cash flow. So I help entrepreneurs both with the personal and the business side, implementing components of Profit First, as well as bringing in some wealth consciousness and putting those two together. So kind of combining the feminine and masculine sides of money into a system.
Awesome. So I know one of the things you really, or that you've been talking about a lot lately is aged money, but you did say wealth consciousness. So I do want to dive into that a little bit as well, but can you just explain what aged money is?
Sure. So aged money can be easily defined as having two or more months of money in your account that could cover expenses without having any additional money come in. And the concept or the term aged money comes from the idea that if you don't have a lot of money in the account and money comes in and quickly is used to pay for something that's coming up in the short term, then that money is only staying in your account for maybe 2 or 3 days. And so that's young money. Whereas money that comes in but isn't needed for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, that is giving it time to age inside your account. So that's where that term comes from. But what it does is having aged money gives you so much more peace. It gives you time to really think strategically and not be reactive in business and not spend any contaminated time thinking about the timing of cash flow because you have enough money for current needs, you know, even next month's needs. And it's really just a matter of making sure that you're continuing to bring in enough money for future months.
Okay, so I know from personal experience, we all have our own history and story with money, right? It's typically, you know, how our parents thought of money or lack of. And you get to this point where, you know, it was very normal for me to grow up and the concept of age money didn't exist, right? It was like paycheck to paycheck. What comes in must, you know, it goes out. And so to kind of program your brain to a strategy is one thing. Like we can all implement the strategy, but I think this is where the wealth consciousness comes in of like, how do we begin to be okay with aged money?
Well, I think sometimes it just, either you have the background that you naturally will save some money. And there are people who have that background and then also may have trouble spending any money. So that's one end of the spectrum. Another end of the spectrum can be where it is paycheck to paycheck, or in my mind, what I really like to see this as is more just we're being incredibly efficient. Our human beings are efficient. Efficiency kings, right? So when we have a certain amount of money, we want to make sure that we are doing something with every dollar, every coin that's in there. And so it's just shifting the mindset around the practical application for what that's for. So I never have anything labeled savings because savings to me doesn't have any purpose. It just seems like I'm not being efficient with the money. And I think a lot of people subconsciously feel this as well. But when we tie specific purpose to it, whether it be, you know, a paycheck, paycheck number one, paycheck number two, so that we don't have to be spending time with the timing of cash flow, that to me now says, okay, there's a purpose behind that because I'm not going to be spending all this time that I don't need to because I have this paycheck here, paycheck number two here, or 1 month of expenses, a second month of expenses, et cetera. The other thing is once you have a certain amount, and everyone will have a different threshold of what feels good. So someone may say, okay, I only really feel like I need 3 months of aged money, and then I want to do things with the rest of it. Another person may say, I'd actually rather have 6 or even 12 months. Past 12 months, it's typically not, in my mind, necessary to have more than 12 months. Then you can start thinking about other things that you're wanting to save for. You know, maybe, and this is what I call profit for joy. So the things above our normal needs or normal expenses that if we had money allocated to that purpose, it would give us even a higher feeling of joy or higher vibration. So it may be taking your entire family to Paris. It might be refinishing your basement. It might be, you know, going to that specific day spa that you've been eyeing, that you've always wanted to know what it'd be like to do their top package, whatever it is. But when you have aged money and then specific purposes for saved money, it gives you choice. It gives you a sense of efficiency still, which is really the main thing, is not necessarily changing the behavior, but changing the environment in which your money is being used.
I think that's really important. I'm just hanging on to the concept of purpose, probably because I'm so impact driven. But even like a lot of the women that I attract, it's very difficult to spend on yourself or to give to yourself. Sometimes we're overgiving from a place of lack, and that's like a different conversation, but wanting to indulge, right? Quote unquote, indulge or invest something in yourself. And when I specifically know, okay, this purpose is for this, this purpose is for this, it kind of forces me to implement or to invest that money on that thing, because it's done with intention, and I'm not just hoarding money away and then never spending it and walking around with this lack mindset that I can't afford anything.
Right. Yeah. And you also touched on something that actually is part of this conversation in my mind. I think that a lot of times the way that we are showing up in terms of always doing things for others, if we don't first fill our own cup, as in any other conversation around self-care, around caring for ourselves, it will not be a sustainable practice. And the same comes with money. So looking at your money situation as, in order for me to truly continue to be generous, continue to be able to support and help others, it's really necessary to first ensure that your own financial environment is in a sustainable place. And something that I recommend to clients who do have a very beautiful, generous heart and have trouble actually doing anything for themselves is to consider putting in a spontaneous generosity line in their cash flow system. And that gives them a certain amount that they're putting in there every month that they can then use as a way to still feed that desire to really truly help and be generous to others, but also gives them a specific amount so that they're not sacrificing other areas that they know are very important to their self-sustainability as well.
Yeah, I can identify with that greatly, because I love to give, and I'm so impact driven. And oftentimes when I've had mentors say, how much money do you want to make this year? I'm like, I actually have to have like a giving goal as a percent of what I make, because that motivates me over, you know, the revenue that came through my business. And it's so, so important to me to do that. But it's almost like I have to give to myself first to be able to give to that organization or that person. And to me, that just comes with scaling and sustainability. And I learned this the hard way. But it is so true that if you are not full, if your cup is not running over, you're coming from this place of lack. And it doesn't just mean like a negative in your bank account. It means you're going to have the emotional tie to that too, which is the stress of debt and overwhelm. And that is not a healthy or a good energy to receive from.
No.
So when you are working with somebody, and of course this profit first system, like how can you create, what is the profit first system? Two is, what do you say to that person that's coming to you saying, oh my gosh, I have these big dreams, I have these big goals, I know everything that I want, but this is where I'm starting and I'm overwhelmed and confused. And they have this like need and desire to overgive. Like, how do you get somebody to like stop, implement, reverse engineer to get to a really healthy place with their aged money?
Well, the first question I think was, what is profit first? So really simply, profit first is looking at profit in a different perspective. So traditionally in accounting, the profit is defined as revenue, basically all the money that comes into your business. You take out any expenses you had from the business, whatever's left over is considered profit. And from that amount of money, that's where you're going to pay yourself. That's where you're going to have profit in the business, et cetera. Profit first is where you make sure, no matter what, that you have intentional profit outside of paying yourself, meaning above and beyond paying yourself, that's set aside first. So it's similar to the concept of pay yourself first when you're a kid and you're saving money and you put some aside first before spending it. So it takes total money coming in or total revenue. Take away intentional, purposeful profit, put it into a separate pile. Whatever's left over, you have available to pay expenses and to pay yourself. So Profit First has revolutionized so many businesses. It's been incredibly impactful. And it's the reason it works so well is because it has nothing to do with accounting. They even have this phrase, GAAP is crap. And GAAP stands for Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. And it's true. It was designed to help the government make sure that they were taxing their citizens appropriately based on their laws. And the laws are incredibly complicated. So when you try to add that in with the emotional side of money, plus the fact that now everything's electronic, so we're not even doing any psychological trade, even trade of things like I give you money, you give me goods, but now everything is electronic. We've lost touch with the energetic components of money. And so especially for impact-driven, empathic entrepreneurs that can even be at a heightened level of overwhelm and frustration because we are so out of touch with what we know and what we can really feel. So when it comes to looking to get more peace, more groundedness, the very first thing that I share is we feel a lot of fear around the unknown. Most people that come to me have done a lot of times many different things or methods to try to feel more comfortable with money. For example, they may have hired a bookkeeper. They may have an accountant who's helping them with tax strategy. And they're frustrated with these people because they still feel like they don't have any better grasp or understanding around money. And so I share, first of all, the concepts of the fact that a bookkeeper's job is truly to maintain what's already happened in your books and structured in a way that your accountant can view that with all the GAAP principles in place to ensure that you're not paying a penny more or penny less in taxes. And the bookkeeper is a really detailed, efficient person who likes to handle the details of your business, but is truly focusing on what's already happened. As the visionary and the strategist, that's frustrating because you think they're supposed to be helping you with that side of the money, how much should I be making, how much should I be putting aside for taxes, and that is looking forward, which is not part of the job structure description of the bookkeeper. So as the strategist, you're still feeling frustrated. And so I really strongly believe that we are missing a very important job role in the structure of any business, and that is a cash flow management expert. And this is separate from a financial officer.
I was going to say, what's like the financial planner? Yeah, some of them have picked up on the fact that they need cash flow management as well, not just telling people what insurance to buy or where to spend their money.
Right. Because here's what we know right now. If I asked someone off the street, what are the different roles of money? Most likely after I surveyed a couple of people, we would get a bookkeeper, we get an accountant, we get a financial planner, and we might get a chief financial officer. Those are the four things that are widely known. And we just explain what a bookkeeper does. They look backwards. They track the historical data of your company. The accountant is looking for tax strategy. The chief financial officer is meant to be helping with strategy in terms of growing and making sure the business is profitable. But in my experience, even with multi-billion dollar corporations, they are focusing on all of the mess and mayhem of the accounting department because accounting systems are so complicated. So they are not spending a lot of time on the strategy. The fourth thing, the financial planners, their role is to help maintain investment strategy. And what they are finding is if you don't have a client with cash to invest, they're not going to be able to help the client. So they are going into some more cash flow management And what they're also doing is they're selling insurance to protect the wealth that you already have. Mm-hmm. When I went to business school and my degree is in finance, I immediately saw very early on that there was no reason for me to be a financial planner, because most of that, honestly, the best investments are automated and you're not really needing a planner. I don't have one personally. And I definitely didn't want to go into accounting because that's looking backwards and it's boring. Didn't want to go into bookkeeping because, again, I don't really want to spend all my time in the detailed work. But what was missing was this cash flow / emotional component to it. So when you look at, when we get back to the question of how do I help someone feel more clear and control and peaceful around money, I mentioned this fear. It has so much to do with the fact that we just don't know. It's the unknown. And so even if you have the bookkeeper, even if you have the accountant, you're still feeling frustrated. It's because we aren't looking into where our money is actually going. So we feel this, oh, I don't know. I know it comes in. I know it goes out, but I don't really know where it goes. I know I'm making good money. I know that my clients are happy, but I'm feeling like nothing is staying in my bank account. And I have this bookkeeper and they're not really helping me. And then I just found out from my accountant that I owe more taxes. And even as I say this, I can feel the stress of those words because I've heard them so many times. And so the first thing is just getting a clean slate. And for one, giving yourself grace in this process that it will be up and down, will feel emotional, because money is 99% emotional and behavioral. The second thing is just take a look, start looking at how much money do you want to be paying yourself each month? Think of all the things that you pay for, the monthly bills, the recurring bills, the things outside of regular bills. This is where most people forget things like holiday spending in December. What if you took that amount that you, let's say you wanted to spend $600 in December for holiday bills or holiday spending, and you decide in January, I'm going to plan for that and I'm going to set aside $50 that I might otherwise spend on something that I don't even really remember spending, and intentionally put it aside. And each month that amount grows. By the time you get to December, you now have the money to spend in the holiday. And you have now given yourself a truer look as to how much your bills are each month. So when you give yourself that opportunity to really get clear on how much does my life really cost me to allow me to feel in a high vibration, to allow myself to feel in flow, to feel supported, to feel like I can be generous, to feel like I am really truly in a place of abundance, you can then start looking at, okay, now that I know how much my life costs, now that I know how much my business costs, because you'll do the same thing with your business, you can then come up with a revenue goal that will give you that life. And at that point, and this is where I think 99% of businesses, including almost every corporation, has not done, and that is look at that revenue number and look at the model that your business is currently running under, and asking yourself, do you see how your packages and pricing can theoretically give you that number or higher in a way that doesn't make you feel like you're running ragged? And that is a really important important concept, because if your business is running in a model that cannot achieve the revenue that you're desiring, but yet you still want to live the life that you've deemed necessary without hitting that revenue goal, it's going to be like you're on a hamster wheel, because it will continually feel like there's not enough money there. So the exciting thing is there's always a way to figure out how to make more money. And that's where the wealth consciousness piece comes in, as well as doing these practical steps, because you can start to say, okay, well, I know that if I hit this goal, I will feel this way. So finding ways to feel that way now is one thing. Another thing is just allowing yourself to truly soak in that new number. Subconsciously, your brain is working already on ways to make that happen, but really knowing that, yes, this is possible. Yes, I believe that I can hit that number and higher is a critical component of that.
I love this. So it is reverse engineering, right? It's creating the life that you want. And that takes effort, that takes space, that takes awareness and patience is the key, right? Working the system, and also working on your stuff as that comes up. So, because as we know, like, I'm so big into this, like, I think Jim Fortin calls it like be, do, have, right? The have and people live in how do be, right? When I have the money, then I will do this and then I'll be happy. And it's like, no, who do you need to become? What do you need to do in order to have what you want or to create that life that you want? And for, I have no idea. Well, I'm sure it's primal brain and it's your, you know, like, why? I just don't understand why we think, oh, I could just do these things, but not like embody or implement. And then people think, well, people don't think anything. This is what I used to get stuck in. You know, this whole visualization, but not implementing anything to attract what you desire in your life. It's like, I'm just going to run everything on the credit card and, you know, digest it, but I'm not going to implement it or sit with that discomfort of, you know, the breaking through point. Like, I remember the first time I created a cash flow strategy personally and opened my bank accounts, I wanted to vomit. But yet that was because I had so much shame and overwhelm come rushing up. But that's part of the growth experience. You can't avoid those uncomfortable emotions. And I think when we hear like spirituality or wealth consciousness, we think it's supposed to feel good all the time. And I always talk about like going through the tunnel or the birth canal to get to that freedom on the other side. So I'm curious about your perspective on that.
Well, first of all, I absolutely agree with you. It is definitely not always a good feeling. And if it were always a good feeling, then it would be a neutral feeling. So we have good feelings because we also know what it feels like to not feel good. And that perspective is such a gift. And so I actually am very grateful when I have negative feelings because it gives me that perspective that sometimes we can lose if we're always feeling good. I think it's more the habit, or not the habit, but the how we get better. We're more resilient at being with a feeling that is uncomfortable, or being able to sit with fear, because fear will always be there as long as we are not certified crazy human beings, right? I mean, fear is meant to protect us, and without fear, we will not. We will not survive as a society. So it's important to have that, but knowing that we can be more comfortable with it. And courage is taking action with fear, having fear anyway. And the other thing is, I always remind myself when I'm feeling uncomfortable or I'm having a day in which I just am not feeling all that great. One, I remind myself that growth edge is uncomfortable. And that it is an exciting time, because when you feel uncomfortable, you know something really big is around the corner. And the other thing I remind myself is negative feelings are directly attributed to negative thoughts. So I ask myself, what am I thinking? Because no one has control over our thoughts. And this is an exciting concept. You know, this is something that I think no matter where we are in life, whether we're in a prison cell or we're on the Riviera Maya, if we are having negative thoughts, we will feel negative feelings. And if we are having positive thoughts, we will think positive feelings. I just think about, you know, sometimes these reality shows where there's these incredibly wealthy people arguing over the silliest stuff and frustrated and sitting there in these gorgeous mansions crying about something or another, you know, something that's going on. And someone else could be sitting in a little hole in the wall in the middle of Mumbai, India, and having an incredible time. And it all is directly tied to thoughts. So it's not even the amount of money we have. It's more just how we're approaching the situation. And I think it's really exciting that we have this ability to think both strategically, but also give ourselves this space to allow things to fall into place. And for me personally, I have a Myers-Briggs makeup where I think I'm the least likely to go into business for myself because I seek safety and security. Mm-hmm. And so in the very beginning stages of running my business, I had a lot more aged money and I was on a very tight budget for myself. And for me, the growth was allowing myself to pay myself more money and to also start spending my money, even if I didn't have a very specific plan for how it was going to come in. And just truly, it came from experience of that the more that I released, the more that I let go of money and allowed it to be part of this karmic cycle of money. And the more I paid myself, the more that things naturally started to flow. And I now have a very strong belief. I truly feel it deep down that the universe has my back as it does everyone else. I see it all the time. And I just remind myself, I've never been to the point where I can't pay for something. Mm-hmm. And there are very few people that have ever experienced that. And the fact that they're still living in here means that something happened to make that a better situation. So we all have made it to this point in our life, basically unscathed in some ways, in that we are here, we are present, we are living. And so I just find that when people really start to let go and truly see that this is a combination of practical action and being aware that there's something bigger than us also, you know, around it is where I see the sweet spot of a business truly thriving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a lot more than numbers, and you have to be able to work through that emotional state and the stories. And I don't know when, but I began to subscribe to the belief, and I'm sure it was when I started healing some of my money stuff, and we always have more to work on. But I started seeing money as energy, like that's it. And seeing the connection between money, energy, and time, because I believe they're kind of all the same. Like when you realize that we all have 24 hours in a day, and don't know when that is done. Energy, we can create more of. Money, we can create more of. But when I started seeing them all as energies, I started treating them very differently. So there's something that I call, and I don't know if I took this from somebody because I can't remember where I heard it from, but called the $1 million minute. Mm-hmm. And so if every 60 seconds of my life is worth $1 million, what am I going to be investing in? And, you know, oftentimes that means I'm not replying to people I just had this person on Facebook, like, I want to buy ads on your blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, please reply, please reply. And I was like, I'm not replying to you. Like, why would I? There's no ROI in this for me besides the fact that the pleaser of, you know, wanting to make sure that all the messages are, you know, whatever, like all the messages
replied
to and tick done. And I was like, no. And that's just a small example of, is this worth it? It's not. Let it go. Do I want to have this conversation? Do I want to invest in this business strategy? Do I want to run this program anymore? Is this price point even energetically aligned with me anymore? Do I feel like I'm undercutting myself and overing delivering? And it's really shifted. And I truly believe that I feel more confident in my money because of that. Like, it's exciting because I figured out how to, I guess, respect myself more. So I'm curious your feedback on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love that. I think for sure money is absolutely not only an energy, but a renewable resource. And so I like to view money as a very neutral thing. So it's not good. It's not bad. I shy away from the messaging of I love money. Money comes naturally to me because it's more of this is just a balance of resources. And so when there's a need for the resource will flow to me. And when there's excess of the resource, it will flow out. And this is just a natural thing, just like with any other energy or resource. So time is, in my mind, more valuable than money because this is not something that we can necessarily generate more of. Now we can take things out and be more specific about how we are spending our time, which I love. I recently read a book. It's by Greg McGowan, and I cannot remember the name of the book, but I'll look it up in a second. And his concept is all about being very specific and mindful of how you are spending your time. Therefore, you are in essence creating time because you're not spending it on things like answering people who are insisting that you answer them. It's called, oh darn, I thought I was going to have it right here, but it might be in my Audible. I may be listening to it in Audible. But the thing is, when you look at it as energy that's flowing in and out, it will fill spaces in which spaces are there. So like, for example, when you think of water, and when you have water flow in, it's going to fill every crevice that it can. And currency, the word currency comes from the word current. And so if you think about money as free flowing, meaning moving in and out, it stays very beautiful and pristine and clean. And if you hoard money without any specific purpose, or it just kind of stays in one little crevice, like in the side of a stream, it'll get stagnant and it will start to get, you know, full of stuff that we don't really want to be swimming in. So I like to think of money in that way. When I see that I do have more than I need in specific areas, to find ways to make it naturally flow.
Mm-hmm. What is your perspective on investing? This is a big thing in the coaching world, right? When people are like, I, that's the number one objection. I can't afford it, or my husband or my partner won't allow me to invest. So what do you say to that?
Okay. So this is actually something it's been interesting for me to see a lot of people bringing in investment advisors as guest experts in this time, which I find really interesting. And also just the concept of investing versus investing in personal finances or investing in yourself. I think right now, one of the very, very best things you can do is invest in yourself. When we can look at this as an investment in which we are going to take action, we make a claim to ourselves, a commitment to ourselves. There is no plan B. I will be implementing this. I will be taking action and implementing this. It's one of the very best things you can do. I do not think that doing a whole bunch of different fancy investment strategies is historically definitely not the way to go. And in my mind, intuitively, I feel like it continues to not be the way to go. There are some people who have done really great things by being very lucky. But 99.9% of personal investors will do worse than the market over time. And anyone that's in business 5 years or less that has done better than the market has truly just taken advantage of a particular time in our market. And so when I first was learning about advanced investment techniques with my finance degree, I came into this class. It was full of master's level students and some 400 level students, and there were about 50 of us in the room. And the professor came in and he looked around the room and he said, about half of you will fail before midterms. And because everything I'm going to teach in this class will not be nearly as effective as the method that I invest, and will take you less than 5 minutes to learn this method, this is also the method that Warren Buffett also uses for all of his investments. I think it's important that I share this with you so that you are very clear on what you want to be doing with your own personal money, and that the rest of this course is truly to understand all the different components of the market. And I'm looking around wondering why not everyone's pencil is up, like, come on, people, like, he's going to give us the secret. And so he explains that over time, since the 20s, when the stock market first started, was that our growth has been pretty much at 11% increase year after year with the economy, world economy, the free market. And so one of the best ways you can make sure to also get that same growth is to have ownership in funds in which they basically are created to emulate the market. So they put the top 100 or the top 500 companies into a fund so that you are basically getting an average of the market as your own return. So to put it simply, if you just put money in on average month after month, and this is what this term dollar cost averaging is, which is essentially if you just over the lifespan, this is just a mathematical equation. If you put the same amount month after month, you take away any risk of putting money in when it's low and when it's high, because it's averaging out over that entire time span, and you're putting it into funds that emulate the market, you will 99.9% of the time outbeat anyone else who's trying to actively manage your funds, which is way more complicated, creates a lot more ego-driven decisions, and makes the person feel really small. Like, I have no idea what he's doing, but I'm paying him money and he's handling my accounts. And it makes you feel like, oh, I have an investor. I'm doing a great thing. The best thing is just to put it in index funds, leave it, forget it. Don't take it out when the market's low. Don't put more money in when the market's high. Just continue to do an average. And that's really all you need to do with investing, in my opinion. Again, this is my opinion. I'm not an advisor. But when it comes to investing in yourself, I think that as long as you are making that commitment to truly follow through and there is no plan B and that you will implement, I think it gives you so much more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've invested in myself. You've invested in yourself, Heather. And I think we both can say that there have been the larger investments I've made in myself has been a direct reflection of how much I'm into it, how much I'm going to truly take action to really take this seriously. And so when people are investing with me, I view myself as a conduit for their own self-investment. And I think the more that we as impact-driven entrepreneurs can view it that way as a conduit for someone else to invest in themselves, it will allow you to really step into showing up for them in a way that they can invest in themselves. And two, to know that it has nothing to do with your value, has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's them investing in themselves. Mm-hmm. And that the result or that the idea or the experience may be what they're investing in, and not necessarily the amount of modules you give them or the amount of FaceTime you give them or the amount of worrying you do for them. It's really just allowing them to say, this is a priority for me.
Yeah. And I think that's a really, really interesting point to make, because of course we've seen people on both ends of the spectrum, and I've had to do a lot of work on that myself to say that my worth or my purpose is not a reflection of their implementation or lack of. And if I had to go, I remember one of the first investments I made in myself, like not even understanding this personal development, because reading a book is a lot different than actually implementing what is in the book or having somebody really challenge you to become, right, to achieve that desired outcome. And I had no, when I say I had no money, like I just made it happen, but I implemented. And I remember telling her at the end of our time together, if I knew the ROI that I was going to receive, I would have remortgaged my home to make this happen. And regardless of what people would have thought, you know, regarding making that decision, it would have been a good ROI for me, because I continued to implement and it saved my life. Like, it saved every aspect of my life. And I am so highly motivated, and we could talk forever and we'll wrap it up, but I'm so highly motivated by one. You know, once you get on this train, especially when you're money and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to be like my parents. I don't have to be like my grandparents. Oh, I don't have to be like, you know, the baby boomers over there living like paycheck to paycheck and then all of this debt in their retirement, or this person or that person. Like, the beauty of contrast, right? Seeing what you don't want and choosing to recreate that. At the beginning, yes, it's always terrifying when you're leaping off the cliff and wondering, is my parachute going to open? But when your parachute opens, you're like, that was such a thrill. I want to do it again and again and again. It becomes contagious. And that's where I'm at with money. It's an amazing, magical thing. When you get these core concepts, you're like, oh my gosh, I can do this again and again and again. So I want to know where people can find you, what you're up to, but also if you had any last words of wisdom for that person who might be stuck in an old mindset or, you know, lack or fear-based of leaping and jumping, and not just with their money, but in all aspects of life. Because I think money is just, you know, one cup, one container of our lives. And I think how we kind of look at this and play with this can kind of, you know, give us a definition of how we're looking and playing in our bigger life. So what's the last words of wisdom you have for someone who's just like leaning on the edge of taking that big leap and feeling in control of what they desire?
That's a great question. So the first thing that I would love to just share is that some ways in which I feel that I've witnessed people blocking themselves from additional money is either not having a way to easily get paid or having it be a complicated way of getting paid, and not a way for people to book in so that you can be curious, learn more about them, and ask for the dance. So those two things, a scheduling system and a way to really get paid, are two components that without those two, it can easily block money. So those are just some practical things to look into. If you don't have those two things, make a note right now for yourself, give yourself a deadline, and get those two things implemented. From a perspective of like feeling like you're just on the edge, there's a book that has helped. I'm sure you've mentioned it many times, Heather. The Big Leap. It's one of my favorite books. Whenever I am feeling on the edge and I can't seem to move forward, I will reread either portions of that book or itself in its entirety, and it really helps me move forward. So that's a really great book. And when it comes to just sitting there and wondering, there's a couple of things I like to suggest. One is ask yourself, how will I feel about this decision in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years, 5 decades? And go through each one and write it down. Usually you don't have to get very far before you know what you really want your answer to be. And the second thing is, there's so much advice and information and opinion out there. And especially in today's age where we have information overload, we have content overload, we have opinion overload. When you're starting to feel overwhelmed, my suggestion and what really works for me is I just put my blinders on. I go into meditation. I start journaling. I do just a session of just writing everything down, and I listen to my inner wisdom. But our inner wisdom, this beautiful person inside, she has a very soft voice. And when we allow things to still long enough, we truly can get some incredible insight. And deep down, we'll know whether or not this is something we want to do or something that we feel we need to step back from. But that inner voice is really going to help you truly navigate as things continue to come up.
I love that. Thank you. And thank you for always sharing your wisdom. I could listen to you forever and ever. And it's truly enjoyable to learn about money anytime you're talking, Amber. Where can people find you? What do you have coming up?
So I love to have people come into my community. It's called Sweet Life Purposeful Money. And this is a Facebook community, a Facebook group. So you can always request access there. And we also, I'm on Instagram at profit.with.amber. And, or you can reach out and just say hello at sayhello@amberduggar.com. I love hearing from people as well.
Awesome. And how do you work with people currently?
So my signature framework or program is called Profit for Keeps. And so we, have people come in and implement the framework that I have put together that does a personal and a business budget, as well as looking into both the feminine and masculine sides of money. And so there's more information at profitforkeeps.com. You can also, I have very select one-on-one spots, so we're really phasing those out, but we do still have that as an option at the time of this recording. So if that's something that really you feel called to, you can reach out to us and we can see if you're a good fit. But ultimately, I'm just really excited about this community that we're starting to build with people who have clarity and peace around money and are having to be able to now have these bigger conversations with like businesses that have this framework implemented and saying, like, what am I going to do with my profit distribution this quarter? Or how many age money months do you have? And just looking at it from a perspective where we're no longer in this kind of anxious, overwhelmed state. And my goal for the company as a whole is to put ourselves out of business. I don't want this to be something that really stops people from moving forward or from getting to the higher levels of impact that they desire, because a strong financial foundation is absolutely, in my mind, essential to truly be able to have this impact, because cash is king. When we have our own leverage, we're no longer going to be, you know, at the whims of the financial industry, at the lending industry. And so I love seeing people start to become empowered with their own financial information and seeing that, oh, people have been making this so complicated. This is actually a pretty simple thing. And so that's what our mission is.
I love it. And I love the simplicity that you bring to money, and anyone who works with you, they're lucky. It's a privilege. So thank you for being you. And we will have all those links below this video in the show notes as well. So thank you, Amber. This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap
and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.